Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Out of all of the resources in this world, there is one resource all people have the exact same amount of. It doesn't matter how poor or how rich you are. It doesn't matter how educated you are. It doesn't matter your nationality or your ethnicity. Do you know what it is? If you saw the slide, you do know what it is. It's time. There are no exceptions. We all only get 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and 365 days in a year. We all get the same exact same amount of time, no matter who you are. We all get this, if you're anything like me who get the same amount of time, you probably feel like you don't have enough of it. I often will find myself saying, "I just wish I had another hour or two. I just wish I had one more day to finish that task or to rest or to study the Bible or to play with my kids." So why do I feel like I need this extra time? It's because I'm always in a hurry or busy, and life always feels stretched out to the limits, doesn't it? If I don't get these things done, then who will? Who will get these things done? And that question right there, who will, that question really cuts to the heart of many problems in our lives. Why I'm so anxious, or why I'm always in a hurry, or why I have some control issues? Why do we always need more time? It's because I think that I'm in control over my life. It's because I believe that I'm responsible for everything and everyone around me. I fear that letting go of my control over this or that thing might mean that I lose it entirely, whatever it is. Or I might end up losing something that I want, like wealth or opportunities or status or relational capital. I need more time because deep down, I think that I ought to be more like the one who has an infinite amount of time, God. After all, God exists outside of time. There is no limitation for him. But for some crazy reason, he decided to make his people, his image bearers, bound by time, bound by limits, bound by a need to trust him, bound by a need to rest and to sleep, bound by the reality that we don't control everything in our own lives. When we, his image bearers, decide to go against the limitations of time that God has placed upon us, we begin to break down in a variety of ways. We lose our health, we lose our focus, and ultimately we lose our sanity and our path to eternity with our Lord, and that is lost. But if you're anything like me, you're not very good at accepting those limits. We know we have them, but I'm not good at accepting those limits. I'm always looking for life hacks to maximize time. You're trying to squeeze more in than you really can. Of course, the question becomes, what gets squeezed out when I try and squeeze more and more into my schedule? In most cases, the sad but true answer is prayer. And that shouldn't be too surprising to us. The more that we try to take control away from the Lord, the more I trick myself into believing that I control my reality, the less I really feel much of a need for the one who actually does control reality. It's because of this that this passage, I believe, is one of the most convicting in all of Luke, one of the most convicting passages. It's a passage that I'm not even sure that Luke wrote to convict people any more than the rest of his book, but it convicts me. So let's focus on verses 15 and 16 in chapter 5. Again, it says, "But the news about Jesus spread all the more, and great crowds came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. Yet he frequently withdrew to the wilderness to pray." He prayed. If we think for a moment about this, it should be mind-blowing. First, God became a human. That means that God took on our human limitations that we just spoke about. Jesus had limits on his time. He needed rest, and he needed sleep, and food, and water, and all of the things we depend upon because of the limitations of what we need in our time. Jesus only had 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He had 365 days in his years. And if we think we're busy, Jesus had demands. Jesus had serious demands on his time. He was the world's greatest teacher and healer. Everybody wanted a slice of Jesus' time. If I feel like I need an extra hour in a day, or if I feel like I'm always in a hurry, or if I feel like my task list and my responsibilities are overextending the amount of hours that I actually have in my day, how much more so did Jesus feel like that and actually had that? And according to these verses, the crowds didn't really care that Jesus had limitations. They just kept coming. And given that Jesus was God himself, it had to be tempting to think that since he really is in control of reality, that maybe he didn't really need to spend much time in prayer. He could just do task after task after task without any real sense of limitation if he wanted to. But he doesn't for some reason. Listen again. It says in verse 16, "But Jesus often, he frequently withdrew to lonely places," or to the wilderness, it says here, "and prayed." Jesus, God incarnate, needed to pray. Jesus, the one who had the power to heal, like we saw with a touch or with a thought, needed to pray often. Just let that settle in. Jesus, the one who had the crowds constantly clamoring for his time, often withdrew from them. He often withdrew from their needs and from the responsibilities that they demanded on him, from him. He often withdrew to lonely places and he prayed. If Jesus needed to pray often, how much more so do I need prayer in my life? We are not God. So if God in humanity, Jesus, left behind those who needed him all the time to spend time with his Father God, and no, I won't help you do the math on that statement, because we'll never understand how God is God and human concurrently and needing to pray to the Father while being the Son and the Father concurrently. I won't help you do the math on that. I won't help you understand it because it's part of my limitation. It's part of your limitation. And ultimately, we'll never understand that those things while we are limited by time in God's kingdom here on earth. We are limited beings. And that's purposeful, I believe. It's purposeful. But if Jesus the Lord, we'll go back to it, if Jesus the Lord needed to come before the Father, who is sovereign and in control over reality, to hear from his Father and to lay his concerns before his Father, to worship his Father and to be conformed to his Father, how much more do we need that? So if Jesus, who had crowds of people constantly clamoring for his attention, knew that he needed to make time for prayer, how much more so do I need to make time for prayer? This is especially important for people in positions of leadership or authority in the church. It's especially important for Christian parents as well. I've heard often from Christian leaders that I know, they'll say, I'm this close to being burned out. I'm constantly sought after by people in need, and I'm constantly sought after by people, and I never get a break. Or I'll often see parents complaining that they're never free. They never get a break because their calendars are always full with kids' sports and friends and birthday parties and blah, 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 right? This is an important lesson, Christians, in saying no. It's an important lesson saying no. If we can't say no to people so that we can balance our time with our Lord and with our family, do we really trust that the Lord is in control? In control of the situations and events that we shouldn't be a part of because we're not including what is really important in our lives? Do we have time for prayer in our life? Or have we bought into the lie that we're just too busy and that there's just too much that we're responsible for, that there are too many people who need your attention, my attention, instead of God? Co-workers, bosses, spouses, children, church brethren, the list goes on and on. Remember that even Jesus, who certainly had way more responsibilities than any of us could even imagine, even Jesus needed prayer. Even Jesus, who was God incarnate, needed prayer. And I'm going to turn this around for just a split second here, just a couple minutes. I know that there are a few of you in this room who have been thinking as I'm talking, I actually do pretty well in not overextending myself and my schedule. I'm good at saying no when I need to, or I'm good at not being involved in things I don't need to. If you're that person, are you often going to lonely places and praying? Are you often seeking after the scriptures? Are you saturating yourself in the Lord through scripture and prayer? Or are you using your available time to do anything else but pray or read the scriptures? Satan has done an incredible job using pagans to invent time wasters. Especially in this nation. I mean, it's worldwide, but the West has done an awesome job in keeping us from this incredibly important task of praying and trusting that God will take care of what's going on during that time. So on Wednesday, I mentioned it. We discussed Edwin Friedman's parable, The Bridge. And in short, the story is of a man who's on his way to accomplish something great, and he meets another man who has a rope tied around his waist. And this second man hands the rope to the first man and then jumps off the bridge. The first man hangs on with all his might, and the second man says, while he's hanging there, if you let go, I'm going to die. The first man has a conundrum because if he lets go, the second man dies. But if he hangs on, he will never get to go and accomplish his goals. So ultimately, he decides that since the second man doesn't want to help himself, he lets go of the rope. And in discussing this on Wednesday from the perspective of the Word of God, we saw that there are people in our lives who are responsibilities assigned to us from God. And then there are people who force their responsibilities upon us, and they say, I need you to stop everything you're doing in your life and help me, but I'm never actually going to take any responsibility in my own life. I just need you to constantly keep me alive and carry me and stop everything you're doing. And ultimately, we know that as Christians, we have to let these people go. Because our ultimate destination is heaven. And some people are going to do everything in their power to keep us from being effective while getting there here on in his kingdom here on earth. And I only bring this up because the scriptures teach us everything we need to know and learn about life balance. Friedman's fable is essentially about balance. And I would love to, I'd really like to keep this lesson simple and focus it solely on our prayer lives. But the lesson Luke shows us in what Jesus is doing, it's not really about prayer, is it? Prayer is enormously important, but I don't think the lesson is really about taking time just to pray. I think what Jesus is trying to show us here in this scripture is that we have to learn how to balance our lives in the most effective way for God. It's not a lesson on how to balance our lives around sports or around our jobs or around our family or around anything in this world. Jesus' ultimate lesson is, how do we balance our lives around Him? There are countless good Christian people who I've seen put their heart and their souls into working for the Lord, and in the process, they left their children and their wives behind, resulting in heartbreak. And that's not a Jesus way of balancing our lives. But Matthew, you say, you just said balance yourself around God. Didn't you just say that, Matthew? That's correct. But what does God say in His Word about raising our children? What does God say in His Word about the importance of our spouses? So am I saying that investing too much time spreading the Word of God to the lost is wrong? Yes. Yes, I am. The Bible has everything you need for life and balance, and I can't read it for you. If you hand the rope to me and you jump off the bridge and say, read the Bible for me, Matthew, teach the Bible to me, Christian, whoever that is, because I'm never going to open it myself and I'm never going to accept my own responsibility of reading the scriptures. If you do that, you should know I have no hesitation in letting go of that rope and making sure that my children and my wife are taken care of first. I will let you die in your laziness and your sins or whatever it is, because the Bible teaches me how and teaches you how to prioritize. And the more we dig into the scriptures, the less we need to be concerned about the results of people who won't do the work. We don't save souls. God does. We don't save souls. God does. We can let go when it's needed because God will let go too. God will let us make our own choice and face our own consequences. God is the greatest example of balance. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 19. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from His workmanship, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking and darkened in their foolish hearts. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images of mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the desires of their hearts to impurity for the dishonoring of their bodies with one another. God let go of the rope. If we don't get our priorities straightened around the Lord and what His Word teaches us, we are in danger of losing sight of what is important. And this sets us on a road of confusion and sin and depression and loss. And ultimately, God will let go of the rope and let us face the consequences because we couldn't balance our lives around Him. That's what Jesus is teaching us here in these two short verses. We are only ever balanced in our lives, our families, our marriages, our relationships, our jobs, our health, when we take the time to go to Him in prayer and saturate ourselves in Scripture so that we can learn to balance everything around God. So the question is, what forms of hurry or busyness and distraction do we need to eliminate from our lives? The answer is different for every single person in this room. But what everyone needs to be doing is going to the scripture themselves, like I've been saying, and reading it for themselves, rather than waiting on someone they think knows the scripture better to tell them what it says. James, in the book of James, he tells us that the scripture is a mirror. Scripture is a mirror in which Christians see themselves accurately. If you aren't in the scriptures, you won't be able to see how unbalanced your life really is. I can't tell you to go to this. That'll help you. If you're in it, you will see yourself as a mirror and you will see yourself accurately. How is God calling us to find time for prayer and balance in our lives? Maybe we start by admitting that we aren't in control of it all. Maybe we start by praying to have a better understanding of how truly in control God really is. The world is going to function and continue and go on without our constant contact and input. I guarantee it. God does too. We can lay down our life and our fears and our needs before Him and enter into God's presence and be shaped by Him in times of prayer. We will be conformed to His image in times of prayer. And the more we take time to pray, the more we will have the quiet we need and the guidance from God that we need to balance our lives in a godly way so that we can be effective for Him in a godly way.